Our Debbie Monterey sat down with the creator of one of the biggest Hollywood movie trilogies ever. That story hits the stage tonight.
Coming to the fabulous Fox Theater is Back to the Future, the musical. Yes, the musical. It is an award-winning show and, of course, based on the Back to the Future movies. Maybe you knew this, but I did not. The man behind Back to the Future is none other than Bob Gale, who grew up in University City. Is that correct, Bob?
Absolutely correct. I went to all public schools in University City. My dad went to University City High School. And that's kind of the reason that Back to the Future exists, because in the summer of 1980, I happened to find my dad's high school yearbook in the basement. I'd never seen it. I discovered that he had been the president of his graduating class, and I did not like the president of my graduating class. So I wondered, was my dad the kind of guy that the president of my class was? And if I had gone to high school with my dad, would we have been friends? And that's when the proverbial bolt of lightning hit me in the head. And I said, there's a good idea for a movie there. A kid goes back in time and ends up in high school with his dad. And that's how it all got started. So it's all because of St. Louis.
That is really incredible, because Back to the Future, of course, was a juggernaut. The first one, then there were two more, and now a musical. What was it like when you had this bolt of lightning idea from that moment until it went into the theaters? I'm sure it was not an easy path.
Well, it was very interesting in that when I came back to California, I told the idea to my partner, Bob Zemeckis, who directed the movie. And he loved it, and we started working on a pitch, and we went to Columbia Pictures, where we'd just made our previous movie, Used Cars, and it was the easiest pitch meeting we've ever done. The head of the studio, Frank Price, understood the idea of it in less than a minute, and so we had a deal to write it and get paid for it. But then when we finished the script, they passed on it, and they gave it back to us in something that in Hollywood they call turnaround, which means that the filmmakers get their script to try to set it up someplace else so that the original studio can get their money back. The script was rejected 42 times.
Wow.
People would say, well, it's a time travel movie. Time travel movies don't make money, which was a true statement. Or they would say, it's very nice. It's very sweet. Why don't you guys take it to Disney? We took it to Disney, and they said, well, this is a movie about incest. We can't make this a movie like this at Disney, because you've got the kid with his mother falling in love with him, and no. So it took Bob Zemeckis to have a hit movie called Romancing the Stone that made everybody want to be in business with him. And we brought the project to our friend Steven Spielberg, who had just started Amblin Entertainment. And finally, we got the movie into pre-production in the summer of 1984.
That's amazing. 42 rejections.
Yes, you have to have a cast iron constitution if you're going to work in Hollywood.
Wow. And you said Used Cars with Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell and Jack Warden, yes.
Oh my gosh, I loved that movie. When you said that, it just totally took me back. And now I'm going to have to see. It's streaming somewhere.
It's streaming. It's on DVD and it's on Blu-ray, so yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it belongs in your library.
It was great. The casting of Back to the Future, I'm sure, had a huge role in the success of the movie as well. Hindsight is 2020, but I don't know that you could have asked for a better cast.
You're correct, completely correct about that. And the rocky road of getting Back to the Future into the theaters in the form that we know it, the studio made us cast an actor named Eric Stoltz to play Marty McFly, against our objections. But when the head of the corporation tells you you're putting this kid in the movie, we kept saying no, and he said, well, if it doesn't work out, you can start the movie all over again with somebody else. Well, it wasn't working out. We showed him the footage. We said, we got Michael J. Fox standing by, and he said, okay, start all over again with Michael J. Fox.
Wow.
So this is something that nobody ever does, and I don't think it's ever been done since. But thank God we did it, because if we hadn't had Michael J. Fox in the movie, I probably wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation with you, and there would not be a Back to the Future, the musical.
That's amazing, because Eric Stoltz is a great actor.
He is a great actor, but he's not a comedy actor.
No, I can't imagine him in that role at all. It would have had a totally different feel to it. So you go from 42 rejections to this movie that is just a blockbuster. And then there's Back to the Future 2 and 3. You adapted, you produced the Back to the Future movies, and now you've adapted this for the stage. So how do you adapt this movie to the stage and make it a musical?
Good question. And everybody can go to the Fox and see how we did it. But yeah, there were things that we just looked at and said, okay, there are things that you can do on stage, and we want to show off what you can do on stage to its best ability and not try to do stuff on stage where people say, oh, it's a mediocre version of what they did in the movie, because we didn't want it to be a slavish adaptation. So, for example, you can't do the terrorist car chase on a stage. So, but the drama is Doc is incapacitated and he's dying. So we gave him radiation poisoning from the plutonium. And it works dramatically, perfectly well. It only requires Marty and Doc to be on the stage. And it works that way. We knew we couldn't do the skateboard chase because it's too dangerous. You can't risk your actor breaking his ankle doing skateboard stunts if you can even find somebody who can act and do skateboard stunts. So I cut that out, and we have a different kind of a chase that works dramatically and does the same function, but so there's no manure truck. Sorry, folks. There's no dog. There's no baby. But we have singing and dancing and all these great songs and a lot of new stuff. And the idea was to capture the spirit of the movie of Back to the Future. Because when people say, why don't you guys do Back to the Future Part 4? What they're really asking is, I want to see something that evokes the feelings that I had the first time I saw Back to the Future, and that's what you get at the musical. And just to let everybody know, it doesn't matter whether you have seen the movie, the musical works completely on its own. I've actually had people come up to me and say, I'm glad I didn't see the movie first because I didn't know what was going to happen. So some people actually like the musical better than the movie. I don't care whether you like one or the other, as long as you just go.
And I noticed on the Fox website that it has rave reviews from all of the actors that were in the film.
Yes.
that all liked the musical.
We invited Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd and Leah Thompson and Huey Lewis to come to the gala opening and some of the other cast members, and they were just completely blown away. So I said, I think people will be more interested to know what did Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd and Leah Thompson think of the movie, rather than some reviewer for some newspaper in New York. And sure enough, you are the proof that, yeah.
They liked it.
If Michael J. Fox likes it, I got to go see it.
Before we let you go, Bob, can you tell us a couple of things that maybe when we watch Back to the Future again that we might notice are love letters to St.
Yes,
Louis?
Yes, indeed. Well, in the movie, Marty lives in a subdivision called Lion Estates. And there's these little small gates that have lions on top of those. And those were inspired by the University City Lions on Del Mar. So when you drive on Del Mar, you go past those, you can just say, hey, that's that's where they came from, Back to the Future. The Hill Valley Bulldogs, the Bulldogs were my junior high school team, the Brittany Bulldogs. So that's where that came from. In the movie, the school colors are maroon and white. In real life at Brittany, they were red and white, and we corrected that in the musical. So finally, that's correct. And the character of Mr. Strickland, who's the vice principal, he was based on the vice principal at UCity High School. So if you happen to be at UCity High School at a particular during a particular couple of years and you knew Bailey Burkhead, Mr. Strickland is based on him.
How about that? Bob Gale, he is back in town for the opening of Back to the Future, the musical. It runs at the Fox Theater September 24th through October 5th. He is the creator and producer of the Back to the Future movies and a St. Louis area University City native. It's a pleasure to meet you, Bob Gale.
Debbie, thank you for having me here.